24.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, just for... So proud I was of the ad. It's 546, not 547. It's show number 546. Good evening and welcome. didn't catch that, did you, on the ad? Anyway, good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. It's Comics Night, Radio Comics. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and I'm here along with...
Oh, this is CW providing the female side of Blog Talk Radio.
That's a good
probably
thing
the best side at this point.
When I try to display the female side, it doesn't go well. So thank you.
It's worse when I do.
Hey, I got a question for you. Since one of our shows tonight is Blondie, do you know what Blondie's maiden name was?
Debbie Harry.
Wrong Blondie.
Oh, okay. Morgan Stern. No.
I am looking for it. It was right here.
McGillicuddy.
No, I was Lucille Ball. It was Boopadoop. Blondie Boopadoop.
Blondie Boopadoop.
Yep. and the reason for that is she was a carefree flapper girl who spent her days in dance halls along with her boyfriend Dagwood Bumpstead, heir to an industrial fortune, believe it or not. And of course the Boopadoop name does derive from the scat scene lyrics. It's popularized in Helen Keyes' song I Want to Be Loved by You.
Boopadoop.
And actually, Dagwood wasn't necessarily supposed to... Remember, it was called Blondie. Dagwood was not supposed to be the central character. It was Blondie. And in fact, the creator tried to send off... Because again, Dagwood's parents did not approve of Blondie Boopadoop. And so they actually sent him off on a tour to Europe in order to try and get him to forget her, and they brought in this mechanic guy that tried to woo Blondie, but the readers wouldn't have it, and before long, Dagwood Bumpstead was back and in it for good.
There you go. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, CW, is I always thought, and Blondie was the central character regardless. Sure, they focused a lot on Dagwood at his job, but who ran the family? Who really... kept things got on the straight and narrow. Who got everybody out of trouble? It was Blondie.
Indeed. Let's face it, Blondie wore the pants in the family.
Yes. Yeah. And that was really because of, you know, actually in order to marry her, Dagwood went on a month and a half hunger strike, I guess, cartoons. Although as much as Dagwood eats, he didn't eat as much back then, I guess. To get his parents' blessings, they strongly disapproved. But when they got married, they disinherited him, and they only left a check to pay for their honeymoon, and that was it. Then the Bumsteads were forced to become middle class suburban family, and that's what Blondie did. Because according to catalog of the University of Florida's 2005 exhibition, 75 Years of Blondie, 1930 through 2005, notes, Blondie's marriage marked the beginning of a change in her personality. From that point forward, she gradually assumed the position as the sensible head of the Bumpstead household. And Dagwood, yep, who previously had been cast in a straight role to Blondie's comic antics, took over the comic strip's clown. So there you go.
Wow. I had no idea they came from money and they were disinherited.
Yeah, well, yep. it was Dagwood that came from money, not Blondie. She just loved, she was a flapper and loved to dance and all the stuff the flappers did and didn't do back then. And
would be easier to say what they didn't do, because they did everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just about. It's kind of odd, you know, when you think of being disinherited like that. We hear about it in the old radio programs, too. You may have heard about it in some of the TV shows, but you don't really hear about the outside of a story. You don't really hear about that kind of a thing today. They'd rather remain family and complain the whole time. You see, every time you see them, that kind of a thing.
That's true. I mean, what's that show that had Eugene Levy? Is it called Schitt's Creek?
Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
Oh yes.
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 It's
hilarious.
Same, I know, the same parable. They had a lot, and then they're left with less than this.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost everything to the tax people except Schitt's Creek. So there you go.
And they were up there, and that's that. There we go. Back to the comic strip side of life. We got two episodes, obviously Blondie's one of them, who we've been talking about the last 5 minutes, and Archie Andrews from Archie Comics will also be on tonight.
Yeah, some of these things, you know, between Dick Tracy last night, what, 32, and Blondie started in September of 30, and I think Archie Andrews, when did that start? I'd have to look that up, but yeah. So that started up very early as well, September of 39.
Wow, great year for comics.
I guess. I mean, well,
yeah.
Between getting over depression and a war starting, people needed a lot of cheering up.
Yep. Although we weren't really involved in that war yet. We did everything we could to ignore it, to be honest with you. Few people like Arch Obler and was telling us to get involved, and yet people like Lindbergh telling us, don't get involved. So
yeah, that was a kind of a two-way street. I mean, you had people who had fresh memories of being dragged into World War One, the pandemic, the really, really big pandemic. Not that ours isn't a problem, but theirs was a real problem. Then depression came around the corner, and prosperity was supposed to come around the corner. Well, it took a long walk getting around the corner.
Yeah, it was, and essentially it was the war that pulled them out of the depression.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah, I can understand why people didn't want to get into another European hoo-ha. But at the same time, most people had no idea what was going on over there.
Yeah.
So we're going from the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just going to say, what they did is Lindbergh took a tour of Germany, and what they do is they'd show him an airfield filled with airplanes, and then as they'd route him off the next airplane, they'd take all those airplanes and take it to another airfield. Then they'd land there, and he'd see all those planes. Then they'd do the same thing, and they'd take all the planes to another airfield, and they'd take him over to another airfield. He'd see all those same planes again, and he thought that the Germans had so much air superiority that we should not get involved, certainly not until we had bulked up our... I think, but the Germans never had the amount of planes that he thought that they had.
They keep moving the same five planes. They have thousands.
No kidding. And you would think this guy who had some expertise with aircraft, I mean, I'll give him his props, flew that solo flight, first one to get across. But you would think, you know, it's the same thing. If someone keeps showing you a Dodge and takes you around the corner and say, here, I have some more Dodges, wouldn't you kind of notice the dirt and the things that, you know, these things look kind of familiar to me. I mean, seriously, something's not kosher here, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, he could have been feeding them schnapps in between. I don't know.
Oh, there's that. Here's a little schnapps. Here's our new beer garden, our brand new beer garden. Try this beer garden and some more schnapps with the beer garden.
Absolutely.
Well, have you tried this and this beer garden? So he was kind of a little schnockered. And...
Yep, yep. And then he's by then he's seen double, and he thinks there's even more planes, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and
goodness.
Speaking of confused, let's get into our first episode of Blondie. And this is a great title, Blondie's Polar Bear.
Yeah, hopefully that's the same episode that we got there. And date I have for that would be June 18th, 1949.
Ah, don't touch that dial. Listen to...
Blondie!
Yes, folks, that's another half hour of fun with Blondie and Dagwood. Visit with our neighbors, the Bumsteads of Shady Lane Avenue. Is at the breakfast table telling Blondie and Alexander a little story which eventually will get him into a very embarrassing spot.
Well,
every spring, I was always the first fella to go swimming in the river.
Dagwood, is that the truth?
Oh, well, not every year.
I thought so. So you weren't the first guy every year, huh, Pop?
Well, no. Remember, my first 2 years, I wore a diaper. But I was the first one in swimming each year as soon as I was old enough to dress myself.
How old were you? 12 or 14?
Oh, Blondie, take it easy on me. I was 10. Every year while it was still plenty cold, I'd ride out to the old mill on my bike and change clothes and climb up to the second-story window. And then while my friends watched, I'd dive. And crack, splash, and Bumstead had done it again.
Crack, splash, huh?
Yeah.
I understand the splash, but what's the crack?
Yeah, well, that's just my head going through the ice.
Now, Dagwood, did you really go in when there was ice in the river?
Yep, even if I had to bring my own ice.
Oh, now quit kidding, Pop. How about it?
Well, a couple of times there was still ice in the river, but I knew the secret of how to be the first one in.
What's the secret, Pop?
Never test the water with your toe or you won't go in for another 2 months. You've got to dive right in. And then if you want to change your mind, you do it in midair.
Oh, Pop, it's too late then.
All right, you are, but that's the secret of being first. Yes, sir, it was quite an honor.
And I suppose it was quite an honor to get double pneumonia afterwards.
Oh, nothing ever happened to me, Blondie, except that I got goosebumps the size of billiard balls.
Oh, gee, I'd like to be the first guy in swimming this year. Alexander Bumstead, I will not have you going in swimming until it's nice and warm, and that's that. Why, you'd catch cold, and you might miss your classes for the rest of the school year. That's another reason why I'd like to be first. Maybe I'll go by the river today and do a little toe testing myself. You'll do no such thing. You need some new play clothes, and you're going shopping with me. Now, you stay away from that river. One athlete in this family is enough. Well, Alexander, we've got your play clothes for the summer. Now all I have to worry about is mending them.
Oh, I'll be very careful of them, Mom.
Why, don't you believe me, Mom? Well, I found out that last year you and Alvin Fuddle used to have races to see who could get through a barbed wire fence the fastest.
I always won, too.
Well, I could guess that by the length of the chairs.
Hello, Mrs. Bumstead.
Oh, hello, Mr. Dixon. Oh, Alexander, this is Mr. Dixon, the star reporter of the Evening Star.
Gee, I've always wanted to be a reporter. You meet such interesting people.
Hey, you should know the people I avoid. Well, I saw Mr. Bumstead this morning. At least I think it was he. Sort of a gray blur wearing a bow tie.
Yes, that's Dagwood. He was a little late this morning, as usual.
He must be quite an athlete. Full of pep, vim, and vigor all the time, isn't he?
I don't know. When he's home, he's usually taking a nap.
Pop's a pretty good swimmer. He was always the first one to go swimming in the river every year.
Oh. Well, is he going to be the first one this year?
I hope not.
Yes, sir. Crack, splash. He went right through the ice with his head.
His head, huh? Well, that explains it. I'll have to write a little story in the paper about this.
Oh, that'd be great. Pop always dove out of the fourth-story window in the old stone mill.
Oh, Alexander, it was the second-story window.
Oh, well, suppose we compromise on the third story.
You're not really going to write anything, are you?
Oh, I just want to treat it as an item of local history. And, of course, people are always interested in knowing about the husband of any young woman who is prominent socially.
Oh, but I don't think that... Oh, go on. Do you really think so?
Oh, of course.
Well.
When did Mr. Bumstead start being the first one in of the season?
As soon as he got out of diapers, yeah. Alexander.
Well, suppose we say around 10 years old, huh?
Well, I suppose that's about right.
And there was still ice in the river when he used to go in?
Well, sometimes he used to chop a hole in the ice so he could go swimming. Practically.
Now, Alexander, please stop exaggerating.
Mr. Dixon wants to know what really happened. The first rule of a reporter is accuracy, isn't it, Mr. Dixon?
Well, we like a story to be interesting, too.
But accuracy is very important, isn't it?
Well, yes, I suppose it really is, in a way.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, you can put in the story that Pop's favorite dive is a double backflip half-gainer swan jackknife.
What's that like when he hits the water?
It's a terrific splash. Then I dive in and pull him out. please don't put that in.
All right. I think I've got plenty of information to write my story now.
Well, gee, we didn't tell you very much.
Oh, that's all right. I've got an imagination, and I can take up right where you left off. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Dixon.
Yes, so long, Mr. Dixon.
I don't know, Alexander, but I'll bet that story Mr. Dixon writes for the Evening Star is going to be right out of this world.
Bobcat, come into my office.
Did you call me Mr. Divers, or is someone beating a jackass?
Get in here, I'll personally beat a jackass.
Okay, Jack.
Never mind. Have you seen the Evening Star today?
No, I don't think it's quite dark enough yet, Mr. Diddy.
I mean the paper.
Oh, yes.
Phew. Bob said, I think you're the only man in the world with a vacuum-packed brain.
You're just jealous, Mr. Diddy.
It must rattle around in your head like one bean in an empty coffee can. Well, where was I?
Where were you? Oh, you were just telling me to take the rest of the afternoon off.
Oh, yeah. Well, take the rest of the afternoon. Bobstead! I'll stop trying to swindle me. If anyone's going to do any swindling around here, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen the Evening Star today?
Mr. Diddick, I can't answer that until you put that inkwell down.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen the Evening Star yet today.
Oh, you'll be very interested. Look at this headline here. Will Bumstead be a hero and break the ice in 45?
Hey, what's it all about, huh?
Now, listen to this. This time of the year, many of us remember the aquatic exploits of one of our local heroes, Dogwood Bumstead.
Does it really say Dogwood?
That's what it says. It says it right here. It was Bumstead... who was always the first one to go swimming in the river each year.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you and the other muskrat.
No, it's really true, Mr. Diddy's.
It goes on. He started when he got out of diapers at the age of 13.
Yeah. That's a lot. And by several years, too. Now, let me see that story.
Now, get away from me.
Yeah.
I'll run your ears into the mimeograph machine and set it for 50 copies. Shall I continue, local hero?
Oh, now cut it out. What else does it say, huh?
It says you used to climb to the third-story window of the old mill and then plunge 35 feet into the freezing torrent.
35 feet? Holy smoke. They've got to be careful. I could be hurt diving from that height.
All right, now relax.
It makes me nervous just to think of it. Does it say I came up after the dive?
No.
No?
No. It says you cut the water in a beautiful frog dive and were never seen again. Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, too bad. I had a great future. Hey, no, wait a minute. Well, what does it say, Mr. Diddy?
Will Bumstead be the first one in this year? Is he still the same fearless, lion-hearted hero he used to be? Or has he become weak and spineless? What will he do? We'll find out very soon.
Yeah, holy smoke.
Well, Bumstead, are you going to accept the challenge?
What challenge is that?
Are you going to be the first one in this year?
Well, I'll think about it.
Good. While you're thinking about it, I'll call the editor of the Evening Star.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. What for?
I'm going to tell him you accept the challenge on behalf of the J.C. Dithers Construction Company. Yeah. Oh, congratulations, Dagwood. You're a brave man.
Yeah.
Whoops, and a abrupt ending to part one of Blondie's Polar Bear.
That would be, I think Blondie's Polar Bear would be Dagwood.
Yep.
Had those good old polar bear, isn't that what they call them? The polar bear, when they do those things when they, the first people, the crazy people that jump into the water.
Yes,
the
that would
polar
be them.
Bears, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the things people do for a good time.
Yep. CW, back your microphone up a little bit, please.
Hang on.
There we go.
Yes, good old Bob was of the opinion that I should sound like a 1930s radio announcer. Flash, hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ship at sea. I don't have a tin. Unfortunately, I don't have a tin can. Everything is plastic around here. I don't know how that would sound.
A little bit of an electronic buzz there, but that's all right. We'll get by.
Yeah, sometimes it depends on where you. Yeah, there you go. Where, however you hold it, sometimes makes a difference. There you go. You sound as perfect as well. I can never say I sound perfect. So there. You're already batting better than me.
Okay, testing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Cheerio,
yep.
Mate. Hey, bangers and mess, sausage, chips and cheese, and all that sort of thing. Okay.
Chicken and cheese. Cool.
Yeah, Blondie had a couple of Mr. Dithers. One of them was Hanley Stanford, the guy who was mostly known for playing Daddy on Baby Schnooks and Daddy. Although he wasn't the first one. The first one was our good friend, Mr. Alan Reed. He was the first daddy in Baby Schnooks and Daddy.
Oh, wow. The ever-suffering daddy.
And to bring it all around, there was an episode where Baby Schnooks visited the Blondie and Dagwood in the Bumsteads, because Baby Schnooks was a friend of Alexander's, I believe.
Wow.
Ah, okay.
That
did they have the little wise guy kid they had on the movies? What was his name? The little one next door? The little
wise
guy.
I don't think they had him in the radio. Like he's something that was thrown in for the movies, I think.
I just wonder. Cause,
and I tell you what, I should look it up. How many movies were there, Dale? They were probably super cheap and easy and quick to make. And that was the same time they were doing these radio broadcasts.
The first one came out in 1938, and they were making them into the 1950s with Mr. Radcliffe after Mr. Dithers moved on. And the kids grew up, like, a long way. They ran a long, long time. They even tried bringing back another television show of the Blondie with Arthur Lake.
They did not have
Penny
Singleton
was not involved. Yeah.
Right.
She was
right.
not involved. But they kept trying to bring back Blondie and Dagwood.
You know, until she did Blondie, she was basically known as a girl singer. And she sang in several of the movies, as I recall.
Did she? I don't remember.
I don't either. Now I have to go back.
About.
Now I have to watch Blondie movies. You've given me the excuse I've needed.
I also
watch Blondie movies.
Purely for research purposes, not for enjoyment. Purely for research purposes.
Yes, purely for research.
Dave, don't do this to me during Halloween. You know I got to go through my my universal canon, you know? Like I'm trying to do them in order, and I can't find Ghost of Frankenstein anywhere.
Oh.
Roku, baby, Roku. Oh. Hey, that's enough of that. Let's wrap up Blondie here with Blondie's Polar Bear.
There you go.
18 and 49, let's say.
Excuse me. Blondie, did you by any chance talk to a newspaper reporter today?
Yes, Alexander and I had a little chat with Mr. Dixon, the reporter on the Evening Star.
Blondie, are you trying to collect my life insurance? Did you see what he wrote in the paper?
Yes, Dad, but it was all about you and very exciting, too. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, but are you going to be proud of me when you see me coming out of the river with icicles hanging on my ears?
Well, you're certainly not going to try to be the first one in this year, are you?
I'm not, huh? Well, Mr. Ditters has already accepted for me. I even told the editor myself that I'd do it.
Oh, don't worry, Dagwood. I'm sure no one's going to take that story in the paper seriously.
Oh, no? Well, I'm taking it seriously. Guys, the way they egged me on in that story. Now, if I don't take the dive, everyone will say I'm a sissy.
Oh, no, they won't, Dagwood. They'll realize that you are not a young man anymore.
Yeah, I'm not a young man. Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm not a young man?
Well, Dagwood, I mean that,
Blondie, I'm not an old man.
No, not exactly.
Not exactly, Anne.
Well, Dagwood, I know you can still run pretty fast, but you're getting a cute little tummy there. You're not in very good condition, dear.
Now, I'm in wonderful condition. I never felt better in my life.
See, two sentences and you're winded.
Old man, huh? Just feel the muscles in this arm. Go ahead, just feel them.
Where are they?
Right here. Can you feel that muscle?
Well, stand still. I'm still looking for it.
Ouch! Don't squeeze so hard.
Feels like pinching jello. No, Dagwood, no one will expect you to swim in the river until the middle of July.
Mm. Hi, Pop. Hey, did you see the swell story about you in the paper?
Yes, I most certainly did.
I wonder how it got in there.
Yeah. Incidentally, which one of you is responsible for saying that my favorite dive is a double backflip half-gainer swan jackknife?
I couldn't help it, Pop. You know I'm sort of proud of you.
Yeah, well, son, I don't like to have you exaggerate. You know perfectly well there's no half-gainer in it.
I'm sorry, Pop.
Yeah, you know something? It might be a good thing to try out one of these days.
Yeah, when are you going to start the swimming season, Pop?
Well, I don't know. I haven't thought about it too much, but...
Just a moment, Dagwood. Huh? Don't think about it anymore. I'm going to help you make your decision.
But how, honey?
You go and put your bathing suit on, and I'll go upstairs and run a tub full of cold water. 5 minutes from now, you can take a test dive into the tub. Dagwood, your tub's ready.
Okay, Blondie.
Can I feel it first? Okay, let's see. Yow! Oh, it's like ice.
Hey, is it really that chilly, huh?
Well, I expect you to turn an interesting shade of blue from the cold.
Oh, well, let's do this some other day, shall we?
No, indeedy. Now, come on, just hop right in. Don't be afraid, Dagwood.
Well, I'm not afraid. I like cold water. Really, I do. It's good for me. A cold tub stirs up the circulation. It tones up the muscles. It's wonderful. It's no good.
What's the matter?
I can't talk myself into liking it.
Come on, Pop. We can't wait here forever.
Well, I'll just test the water out with my toe. My.
Oh, Dagwood, don't be such a big baby.
Yeah.
Now get at the end of the tub and just slide right in. Mm. You've got to find out about this. Go ahead. Go on now. That's it.
Like this, huh?
Yes. Well, now slide in.
Now, wait a minute. Now.
When Mr. Ditters tries to get you to go through with it tomorrow, I want you to be able to say no and mean it from the bottom of your shivering heart.
Well,
now, go on now. Go on now.
Go on, Pop.
Well, okay. Here I go. Get my body. I'm freezing. I can't breathe. I'm some help. Get me some hot water. Get me warm. Get me out of here.
Who's that knocking on my door?
It is I.
It is I. You can't be anybody I know. Now, who is it?
It is me.
Come in, Bumstead.
Hello, J.C.
Oh, hello, Dagwood.
Who
was that other guy out there?
No one you know, Mr. Ditters.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mr. Ditters, I just wanted to tell you that I'm not going to be the first one in the river this year.
Bumstead, you can't back out now.
Oh, yes, I can.
Well, you try it and you'll back right into my foot. I've already ordered a sign for you to wear on your bathing suit.
Huh?
It just says the J.C. Ditters Construction Company. First in war, first in peace, and first in the river this year.
water's ice cold. It's paralyzing. What if I dive in and go right to the bottom and stay there?
Hey, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll have to figure some way of getting that sign back up again.
Oh, no. Now, I really don't want to do it, Mr. Dithers.
Dagwood, you can't get out of it now. After all, I gave them your sacred word of honor.
Oh, okay. Excuse me while I phone, please.
Who are you calling?
The newspaper. I'm going to give them your sacred word of honor that you'll shoot yourself in 5 minutes.
Now, Bumpshed, give me that phone.
Now, wait a minute.
Don't be ridiculous.
Now, look here, Mr. Dithers.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Dithers.
Oh, hello, Dixon. Dagwood, you know Dixon, the star report of the Star.
Hello.
I'm proud to know such an athletic giant. Well, everything's all set for 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Old Stone Mill.
But look...
Oh, is the Legion Band going to be there?
The band? All for me?
Oh, you bet. We're giving it a big play in the afternoon paper.
Oh.
The town is going to be really proud of you, Bumstead.
Gosh.
The whole town will be there to cheer you.
But will anyone be there to pull me out?
Why, of course. We'll have a lifesaver there.
What flavor?
Raspberry. Now, look. I'll bet all the women in town will envy Blondie.
And all the kids will envy Alexander. Why, he'll sure be proud of you. What do you say, Bumstead?
Bumstead is afraid of nothing. I'm your man.
All right, Dagwood. Yes, dear. Yes, it's all right. Goodbye. Is Pop going to do it anyway?
Yes, I'm afraid he is, Alexander. And he doesn't really swim as well as you do either. You know the doggy paddle is out of style now.
Well, we won't say anything about how well he dives.
No, we'd better not. I'd be even more frightened than I am now.
You're pretty worried, huh, Mom?
Yeah. And I know your father. He's going to go through with it. I'd give anything if there was some way he could get out of it.
Oh, well, Mom. It isn't until tomorrow, and anything can happen. Why, who knows? Maybe the river will go dry.
I don't think so, but I wish it would. No, I'm afraid that by 4:30 tomorrow, it'll be all over. And so will your father.
Oh, holy smoke, it's cold out here. When am I going to dive?
Now, don't be impatient.
It's 4:45 already. Oh, that hot water bottle in my bathing suit is getting cold. Where is everybody?
Are you sure Alexander said they'd change it to the State Street Bridge?
Yeah, Alexander said the State Street Bridge at 4:30.
But we've been sitting here in the car waiting since 25 minutes after 4. Are you sure?
I'm positive, he said. 4:30 BWT.
Now, I've heard of AM and PM, but what's BWT?
Boulevard Watch Time. After all I went through, nobody cared enough to come and watch me. I've been jilted. I've been stood up by the whole city.
Oh, it's all right, dear.
Yeah.
I know you would have done it. I'm proud of you anyway.
Thanks, honey. Hey, what's all that?
Look, here comes a bunch of cars.
Huh?
I wonder if they're coming back from the Old Stone Mill. Look at the sign on the front car.
Oh, what'd you say? Oh, Bumstead will do it. Hey, here they come, Blondie. Okay, fellas, I'm ready to... Hey, fellas! Hey, they're going past, Blondie. Hey!
Look, Dagwood, look. There goes Mr. Dithers and there's Knight.
Holy smoke. Did you see what I saw sitting between them?
Wrapped up in a blanket? It looked an awful lot like our little son, Alexander. And to think my little boy dived into that ice-cold water. Oh, Alexander. And you feel perfectly all right, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Well, go ahead with the story, son.
So they just announced in the public address system that you had gone to the State Street Bridge by mistake and I would take your place.
Oh, my goodness. And how did the crowd like that?
Well, they loved it. So I climbed up to the third-story window and dove out as thousands cheered.
How many?
Well, a number of people.
Well, what do you know about that? Ha, you're a true Bumstead.
Thanks, Pop.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have fibbed to your father about the time and the place having been changed, Alexander.
Well, I didn't. All I said was, have you heard about it being changed to 4:30 at the State Street Bridge? Pop said he hadn't heard about it. I hadn't either.
Yeah. That's right. That's just what you said. Well, I must admit it gave me a few bad moments.
That's nothing. It gave me a few gray hairs.
You know, son, another thing your pop used to do when he was a boy? I used to climb right straight up the side of Mount Krovny.
Oh, boy, Pop.
I was...
Dagwood Bumstead, don't you dare give that boy any more ideas.
Don't go away, folks. The Bumsteads will be back in just a moment.
Wonderful. The older Bumstead passing on the torch of tradition to a younger Bumstead.
He's getting more like you every day.
Yeah.
In spite of all I can do to prevent it.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't latch on to more of your bad habits. You know, Dagwood, if I ever see him with one of those super Bumstead sandwiches, I'll scream.
Hey, Mom, look at this sandwich.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
go. I remember the last time, Dave, that we had Blondie. There was a lot of music. There was a...
Well, yeah, but this was... Because this was an armed forces, they cut out all the commercials and they threw in a couple of musical numbers instead. And especially that first one, you heard the audience there in the first one. And you know what I've done for you, Dale? During this last segment, I wanted to save you some time for your monster movies, your classic monster movies. I found a clip from Penny Singleton singing in Blondie in Society from 1941, and here it is.
All right. I don't know how much good it'll do, but play it anyway.
No jukebox necessary.
Wow, what a sweet voice.
Wow, we put Dale to sleep on that one.
It was like a lullaby, wasn't it, kind of? That was actually my... I was not bored. That was my point. It was sort of like a lullaby. A very sweet song, as CW said. A very sweet voice.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. I thought she was going to say it was a sweat voice. Yeah.
My vocal skills are better than my typing.
I was going to play her singing and dancing to the Varsity Drag, but that was from 1930, and she was not a blonde yet. She was a brunette at that time.
So are we to take it that Blondie was not a real blondie? She was a bleach blondie?
That particular one obviously probably was a bleach blondie, although I saw some pictures of her later in life, and she still had that blonde hair, so maybe she dyed her hair so it wouldn't be blonde in 1930.
I don't know. We found out Lucille Ball was not a real redhead, which was quite shocking. She had sort of a mouse brown natural hair head of hair.
Where Red Skelton was an actual redhead.
Yes, he was a redhead. Danny Kaye was a redhead. Who else?
Morgan Freeman.
I don't think so.
Where did that one come from?
Shawshank Redemption.
Red. Yeah, okay. Red Fox then, too, okay, right? Yeah.
There you go. Anyway. There you see.
R-E-D-D. R-E-D-D, yes.
Red Fox. So Red Skelton, Red Fox, Red Button.
Red Grange.
Red Grange.
Red Rider.
Red Rider. BB gun. Put your eye out. We gotta get moving here. A whole lot of radio. Archie Andrews is going to be fixing a flat tire here.
Yep. And
I'm going to watch David explode because we're going to ask him what is the broadcast date.
And I would say the answer is I got no idea. I looked it up several different places, and I did not find a broadcast date for that particular one. So
we have a range?
No date, but a different program.
Okay.
Do we have a range? It was approximately between 1949 and 1951. How's that?
Fair enough. Here is Archie fixing the flat tire.
Kid, it's a matter of life or death.
Relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, here he is again, the youngster millions of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Brought to you by Swift & Company, makers of Swift Premium Franks, Archie Andrews and all his gang.
Tender beach, you see, far, now from the West Coast to New York, Swift. Premium Franks.
For your guarantee of protection, Swift's Premium Franks now come to you cellophane wrapped in handy 1-pound packages. Made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast, Swift's Premium Franks are then wrapped in the new handy sanitary Flavor Saver pack and brought to you at the very peak of their tantalizing flavor with all their natural goodness sealed in. So kids, tell your mom that you want Swift's Premium Franks. And, Mom, get some today. They're delicious. And you'll be glad to know that Swift's Premium Franks are economical. There's no waste to them. Every bite is all nourishment, all dinner-quality meat. Ask for them today. Swift's Premium Franks in the 1-pound cellophane package. And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's a sunny Sunday afternoon as we look in on the Andrews home, and we find Mr. Andrews in the living room, evidently getting a little impatient about something.
Oh, I don't. It's... Mary!
Yes, dear?
What are you doing now?
Oh, friend, I'll be there in a minute. I'm just putting my hat on.
Mary, you
said... Well, Dad, I'm all set to go.
Oh, yes, Archie. Mary, you said...
Well, day for a drive to Newton Center.
Yes, Archie.
Mary,
but
you
said...
But we have to visit Aunt Hattie on a nice day like this.
Yes, Archie, we do have to visit your Aunt Hattie, and please be quiet.
Okay, Dad, okay.
Okay. Mary, you said you were putting your hat on half an hour ago.
Oh, Fred, that hat didn't look
Oh, great.
Gee whiz, Dad, why do we have to visit Aunt Hattie today? She doesn't even know we're coming.
Archie, it is immaterial whether Aunt Hattie knows we're coming or not. We haven't been over to Newton Center in some time, and we have to visit your Aunt Hattie once in a while, and we might as well take the drive on a nice Sunday afternoon like this. So just get used to the idea and stop complaining.
She was okay, Dad.
Well, Dad, I'm all set.
Well, about time. Come on, let's go.
All right.
We want to be home before dark. We'd better get started right now.
Fred, there's plenty of time. And if you thought of driving over to Aunt Hattie's earlier, we could have left earlier.
All right, dear, all right. But let's just get started. Oh, good grief. Look at that.
Look at what?
A flat tire.
Oh, for pity's sake. Fred Andrews, when did you do that?
Do that? Do that? Mary, I didn't do that. Flat tires have a way of happening all by themselves.
Gee, Dad, now we can stay home.
No, Archie would do no such thing.
Oh.
That tire can be changed in 5 minutes. Now, let's get busy and get it done.
Okay, Dad.
Fred, can I do anything to help?
No, dear, you just stay out of the way. Archie and I'll handle this in no time.
Oh, all right, dear.
Here, Archie, here are the keys. Get the tools out of the trunk compartment.
Okay, Dad.
Oh, Archie.
Yes, Dad?
Be careful of the trunk door. There's something wrong with the supporting arm and it falls down.
Okay, Dad.
Now, get the bumper jack out first. That's it. Now, Archie, put the jack under the edge of the bumper and jack up the car.
Okay, Dad.
Now, just get some of these other tools out.
Boy, Dad, these bumper jacks are easier to set up than the old-fashioned ones where you have to get under the car, aren't they?
Archie, never mind the marvels of science. Just get to work.
I am. Gee whiz.
What happened?
Well, it went up a couple of notches and then slipped way down to the ground.
Well, you probably didn't have it on right. Try it again.
Okay, I'll put it back up.
Now, move the handle down slowly.
I am.
You see?
Yeah. Easy. Dad, it doesn't work.
Oh, great. I never did trust these newfangled jacks.
Is something wrong, dear?
Yes, dear. Something is wrong. This confounded bumper jack keeps slipping back.
Oh, dear. Well, what do we do?
Gee, Dad, now we can stay home.
Archie, we cannot.
Oh.
We'll have to get another jack someplace.
Oh, Fred, maybe we should call a garage and have them send someone out with another one.
And pay them an arm and a leg for the use of it? Nothing doing. We'll borrow one.
Borrow one?
Yes, Archie. You run over to Jughead's house right now. See if his father lends you the jack from their car.
She was okay, Dad.
Yeah, and hurry.
Dad, I'll be back before you can say Jack.
Oh, boy. Well, might as well get the other tools out of this trunk while I'm waiting.
Hey, look out for the trunk door. Look out!
Oh! Oh, my head. Oh! Oh!
Fred, don't you know that door falls down?
So now she reminds me.
Gee, I hope Jug's father will lend us his, Jack. We sure picked a fine time to get a flat tire. Gee whiz, what's taking them so long to answer the door? Great. Nobody's home. Now, how do you like that? Just when I gotta borrow something very important, they're out. I never saw such...
Susan.
What was that? She was... It's Jughead sleeping on the porch swing.
Is that Susan?
Hattie, kiss me again.
Oh, great, he's dreaming. Jughead.
Come on, Hattie, give me a kiss.
Jughead, wake up.
Please, give me a kiss, Hattie.
Jughead, wake up.
Hattie, please, give me a kiss.
Jughead, don't.
Please,
Jug,
Hattie.
Jug, I don't.
Hattie,
Jug, I... Jug. Oh. Jughead! Oh, great. Now he's gone back to sleep. Jughead, wake up. Jughead!
Huh? What's Matt?
Jughead, will you wake up?
Where's Hattie?
There's no Hattie.
Gee, you mean I was dreaming?
You sure were, Jughead. And you kissed me.
Gee, a nightmare.
Jug, don't be funny. And tell me what you're doing sleeping out here on the porch with nobody home.
I don't know. Just sleeping. My folks went to visit my Aunt Matilda, and I didn't want to go, so they left me home, and I fell asleep.
Well, I'm glad you did. Jug, I got to borrow a jack.
A what?
An automobile, Jack. We got a flat tire.
See, my father had a flat tire last week. And boy, did we have trouble.
Jughead,
did we have trouble.
Jug, I don't have...
Boy, did we have trouble.
Jughead, I'm not interested in your trouble. I just want to borrow a jack.
That was our trouble. No jack.
Oh, fine.
Fred, how does your head feel now, dear?
Oh, rotten, but I guess I'll survive.
Oh, that was an awfully nasty wallop.
Yes, dear, I know. Let's just forget it. It'll be all right.
Fred, are you sure you don't want me to call the garage?
Mary, I do not. I can change a little flat tire by myself.
But if we're going to visit Harriet,
get to Harriet in plenty of time. If Archie ever gets back here with that jack. What the dickens is keeping him, anyway?
Oh, he'll be back any minute, dear. But you better get the spare tire out while you're waiting.
Yeah, I guess I'd better.
I'll be in the house if you want.
Yes, dear. Fine thing. I'm going to get some tools out of the trunk, and I get conked on the head by the trunk door.
Hello?
Oh, good grief. Jughead.
Who'd you expect? Henry Ford?
No, Jughead, no. I was not expecting Henry Ford, nor you.
Gee whiz, where'd you get the bump on your head?
Well, Jughead,
it's almost as big as my Uncle Herman's nose.
Jug, you know...
And boy, that's big.
Jughead, will you keep your uncle's nose out of my business?
He was okay.
Okay. What are you doing here anyway? Archie just went over to your house to borrow a jack.
I know, and I didn't have one, so he went over to Betty's to borrow one.
Oh, fine.
But after he left, I looked out in the garage, and I found this old jack laying there.
Yeah, I might have known you'd... Found that old jack. Why, Jughead. That's wonderful. Terrific. Thank you, Jughead. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay.
Now I can go ahead and change that tire without waiting for Archie.
Yeah, but Mr. Andrews, it's not a bumper jack. It's the old-fashioned kind that you have to put way under the car.
Oh, now, Jug, don't you worry. That doesn't matter the least bit. The old-fashioned kind work much better than the new-fangled contraptions. Now, I'll just get down here under the car and put it in place.
For Mr. Andrews, I...
Right under the axle here.
Mr. Andrews,
you... be all set.
Mr. Andrews, I...
Jughead, what is it?
You're wearing your best suit.
Well, naturally, I'm wearing my... Oh, good grief, I forgot all about it. Jughead, have I gotten it dirty?
Well, not very. Just a little dirt on the pants and some grease on the jacket.
Oh, that's great. Ah, well, damage is done. I might as well finish the job now and change my suit later.
Yeah.
There. Jack's in place. Now, Jughead, give me the handle.
The what?
The handle to the jack. You can't work a jack without a handle.
Gee whiz. I never found any handle. Mr. Andrews, what are you getting so red about?
Gee whiz, I hope Betty's father has a jack we can borrow. It's a fine time to be running all over town to borrow things. Boy, I hope Betty's family isn't out, too. Oh, that'd be a fine thing. If she isn't home, I don't know
why. Why, Archie?
Hello, Betty. Gee whiz, what are you doing with that bowl?
Mixing a cake batter, and I have to keep stirring till it's just right.
Oh, well,
haven't
Betty...
you ever seen anyone mix batter before?
Well, Betty,
it's very important to get it stirred just right.
Well, yes,
not too thick and not too thin.
Well, yes,
not too flat, not too lumpy.
Yes, but Betty...
Did you know that?
Well,
would you like to taste the batter?
No, Betty,
or would you rather wait and taste the cake?
Well,
I guess you better wait. The cake's always better than the batter.
But, Betty, I...
Golly, Archie, you're not saying very much. Is something wrong?
Betty, nothing is wrong, but when I came over... Betty, do you have to keep stirring that thing?
Yes, Archie. If I stop now, it's ruined.
Oh, great. Well, Betty, what I came over to ask is, do you happen to have... Oh, fine.
Oh, golly, the phone.
Yeah, the phone.
Archie, hold this mixing bowl while I answer it.
But, Betty,
and
I don't...
keep stirring.
Oh.
Hello? Archie, stir.
I am.
Hello? Oh, Agatha, how are you?
Oh.
Good. Me? I'm fine. What, you got a new dress? Oh, Agatha, how wonderful. Tell me all about it.
Archie, sir.
I am. Hello, Agatha. You were saying about your new dress. What's it like? It is? It does? It has?
Oh, great, Betty, would you...
What else, Agatha? Oh, you don't say.
Archie, sir. I am. I'm going stir crazy.
But, Agatha, how long is the skirt?
It is? It was?
Yes.
It will be?
Oh, fine, Betty, I'm in
Agatha,
a
hurry. Agatha, you come over and show it to me tonight. You would? You can?
Oh.
You will? Oh, that's wonderful, Agatha. See you tonight. Bye.
Oh, well, I'm glad that's over.
Archie, stir!
Betty, I am stirring. But can I get a word in now?
Of course, Archie. What is it?
Well, I came over to ask if you have a jack I could borrow.
A what?
A jack, an automobile jack. You know, for changing tires.
Oh, a jack. Well, golly, Archie Andrews, we probably do have a jack, but I wouldn't lend it to you if we did.
Huh?
Not if you were the last boy on Earth.
But, Betty,
now, give me my cake, that or go on home.
Oh, but Betty, I'm...
Sorry, idea.
Oh, Betty, quit pushing. I'm going. But would you mind telling me why you're mad at me?
Of course I'll tell you. You just ruined my cake batter by too much stirring.
Oh, no.
Well, Archie sure has his troubles trying to borrow a jack. But trouble is one thing you won't have at mealtime if you serve Swift's Premium Franks, for it takes just 7 minutes for these plump, juicy Franks to simmer, and then they're ready to serve, ready to be enjoyed by all. So for a quick, easy-to-fix meal, ask for Swift's Premium Franks. Now remember that name, Swift's Premium Franks, for these are the Franks of all dinner-quality meat. Yes, each mouth-watering bite of Swift's Premium Franks is a flavorful blend of tender beef and juicy pork, all dinner quality meat. And to make sure that each luscious link reaches you at the peak of its flavor, every pound of Swift's Premium Franks is wrapped in a cellophane flavor saver pack that seals in all the natural goodness of these high quality Franks. What's more, Swift's Premium Franks are made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast. So whenever or wherever you buy them, you know they're fresh. Ask for them today. Fresh, flavorful Swift's Premium Franks. The Franks of all dinner quality meat.
Always wanted to drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. I always have. There's a job of doing that, and like you have to go on the road for like a year at a time. You sign like a contract for a year, and you are like the Wienermobile driver.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They want like bright, peppy people, obviously, to promote their product. But yeah, if you are one of the lucky ones, you get to drive the Wienermobile. Might not be up there with the Batmobile, but, you know.
Oh, well, can't have everything. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a Wienermobile.
How are you liking the voice characterizations of these?
The kid from Riverdale?
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm not too keen on actually Archie. Jughead's okay. Betty's okay. The folks are okay. But for some reason, Archie, it's just not working for me. I don't know why.
You're not connecting with Archie. All right.
I'm not connecting with Archie. Sorry. He doesn't sound redheaded enough. Or some such thing.
Maybe that's he just sound redheaded enough. What the hell? That's awesome. Hey, I think we lost Dave.
Oh, we've lost Dave again.
Dave, we miss you. That's all right. We have plenty of time to poke and prod him offline while we continue along with the exciting adventure of Archie Andrews as he's fixing a flat tire, we hope.
And now back to the Andrews. While Archie is still hunting down an auto jack so his father can change the flat tire on the Andrews car and the Andrews can get started on their visit to Aunt Harriet, Dad is having his share of troubles at home.
Gee, I'm awful sorry about that jack handle, Mr. Andrews. I never even stopped to think you'd need one.
Oh, Jughead, let's just forget the whole thing. I'll just wait till Archie gets home and then...
What happened?
Nothing serious, Mary, nothing serious. I just crawl under the car with that
tire jack Jughead brought over, got my suit all full of grease and dirt, then found out Jughead never bought a handle for the jack.
Oh. Well, Fred, why don't you let me call the garage and have them send
Mary,
out the jack?
Mary, nothing doing. I'll change that tire myself if it kills me. And at the rate I'm going, it might. But I'm still
Oh, now, who can that be?
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Betty.
Hi, Jack. Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Betty. Jughead, I thought you said Archie went over to Betty's house to borrow Jack.
Oh, he did, Mr. Andrews, but I got mad at him and wouldn't give it to him. But then after he left, I was sorry I lost my temper, so I brought the Jack over.
You did? Why, Betty, that's fine, dear. That's wonderful. That's... Betty, where is the Jack?
I left it out at the car.
Oh, well, come on. I'll go down there and change that tire right away.
But, Fred, aren't you
going
to
wash? Might as well wait till I finish with the tire, dear. Well, Betty, I'm really glad you didn't stay mad at Archie.
I am, too.
I am, too.
However, the first thing I'll have to do is get under that car again and take Jughead's tire jack out of there.
Jughead's tire jack?
Yeah, I bought a jack, but we can't use it.
It'll just take me a second to get this one out.
Well, you're getting awfully dirty under there, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, it doesn't matter. My suit's all dirty anyway. Here, Jug, take this jack.
Okay, I got it.
All right. Oh, Betty, hand me your jack.
Here you are, Mr. Andrews. Got it?
Yep, I got it. Betty?
Yes?
Is this the jack you brought?
Uh-huh. Is there something wrong with it?
Betty, I hate to disillusion you, but this jack happens to be a crack.
A crank?
Gee whiz.
Yes, Betty, a crack.
Well, golly, can you change a tire with it?
No, Betty. You cannot change a tire with it. A crank is made for starting motors.
Oh, well, I'm so glad it's good for something.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad I won't crawl under this car again so you can hand me a crank. Here, take it back and I'll come out.
I have it.
All right, now I... I... Oh, that's funny.
Well, something wrong, Mr. Andrews?
I don't know, Betty. I got under this car of mine, all right, but I don't seem to be able to get back out.
Golly!
Gee whiz!
I'm stuck. What's holding me?
Looks like your rear end.
What?
Your shoulder's stuck under the rear end.
Oh. Well, how am I going to get out?
Well, Mr. Andrews, the only way is to crawl forward. It looks higher up front.
Oh, good grief. I guess I'll have to.
Oh, that's it, Mr. Andrews. Look out for that big pipe.
I see it. I see it.
Watch that hook.
What hook?
That hook.
Oh, good grief. What ripped?
Probably the rear end again.
Oh, great. First I dirtied my suit, now I ripped my pants. Oh, how do I get into these things?
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Andrews. You're almost out now.
Yeah, come on. Help me up, Betty.
Take my hand, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's nice to be out in the open again. What I want to know is how come I was able to crawl under that car with no trouble at all, and all of a sudden the car was too low for me to Jughead. Huh? Jughead, how long have you been sitting on that bumper?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since right after you crawled under the...
Mm-hmm.
Is that what made the car too low?
Yes, Jughead, that's exactly what made the car...
Now.
Mary, look, the fewer questions you ask, the better. I am going inside and throw this best suit of mine into the rag bag. And Mary, would you call the garage and tell them to send out a jack, please?
Gee whiz, if I don't find a jack someplace soon, Dad's going to be ripping mad. I sure hope Veronica's got one. I wouldn't want
to... Hello, Archie. Hi, y'all, Archiekin. It's awful nice to see y'all, Archie. Dear. Come in, Archie.
Gee, thanks, Veronica, but I can't stay out.
But, Archie, I want to ask you about tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Uh-huh.
I thought we'd take a nice long drive out to the lake.
Gee.
And park underneath the moon.
Gee.
And then you'll put your arms around me.
Gee.
And hold me tight.
Gee.
And then you know what you'll say?
Uh-huh.
What?
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, dear. Huh?
Bye. Now, where were we, Archie?
Yeah, I don't know, Veronica. Oh, yes. Veronica. Veronica, there's something I gotta ask you.
Yes, Archie?
Does your father have a jack I could borrow?
A jack? An automobile jack?
Uh-huh.
Well, of course he does, Archie. A very fine one.
Oh, that's swell.
But
that's
see,
terrific.
But
I've been looking everywhere for a jack.
But, Archie, I'm trying to tell you. Mother and father just went out for a long drive, and they've got the jack in the car.
Well, Fred, I'm glad you finally decided to be sensible about it. I'll go call the garage right now, and they'll send someone out here to do the job right away.
Yes, dear. Now, Jughead, I'm going in to change suits, but while we're waiting for the garage van, you and Betty try to get the hubcap off that flat tire and get the lugs loose. It'll save some time.
Okay, Mr. Andrews.
And when Archie gets back here, you tell him I want to see him.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Gee, Mr. Andrews looks a little mad about something.
I guess he is. But let's get that hubcap off like Mr. Andrews said, Jug.
Okay. I'll get a hammer and screwdriver out of the trunk compartment. Oh, here's a hammer, but I don't see any screwdriver.
Well, what's that back there behind the spare tire, Jug?
Well, that might be a screwdriver. I'll call in and see.
Is it?
Yeah, but it's stuck back here. Hey, what happened?
Golly, the trunk door slammed shut. Oh, Jug, did it hurt you?
No, it missed me, but open up.
Oh, I will, Jug. Golly, it's locked.
What?
I said the trunk is locked.
Betty, don't be a technical. Just open the door.
Jughead, I can't without the keys.
Oh, get the keys.
Well, I called the garage.
Betty, what are you doing?
Jughead's locked in the trunk.
Oh, all right. For a minute.
Who's locked in the trunk? Jughead.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Jughead, how'd you get locked in the trunk?
That's what I want to know. Get me out.
Oh, do you have the keys, Mrs. Andrews?
No, but I'll get them for Mr. Andrews and...
Oh, dear.
Well, what is it?
Archie must still have them. He opened the trunk in the first place.
Archie?
Yes. But Mrs. Andrews, Jughead could suffocate in there before Archie gets back here.
Oh, dear. What do we do?
Get me out. Oh, we'll have a trunk murder on our hands. Yes, and that's no way to spend a Sunday afternoon. Oh, golly, Mrs. Andrews, do something.
Oh, Betty, there's only one thing to do.
Oh, what's that?
Turn me out!
Jug, be quiet for a minute. Betty, go look in the garage for a hammer.
A hammer?
Yes, there's a big sledgehammer out there. And the only way we'll get Jughead out in time is to smash the trunk open.
But Mrs. Andrews...
Hey, Betty, don't argue now. There's no time. Get the hammer.
Okay, Mrs. Andrews, I will.
Turn me out!
Jug, we'll have you out in a minute. Now be quiet.
Well, did the man from the garage get here yet?
No, Fred, but something awful's happened.
Is this the Andrews house? Oh, here's the garage van now.
Yes, sirree, here I am. Jack's the name.
Good. what did you say?
I said my name's Jack. Didn't somebody here send for Jack?
Oh, dear. I asked them to send a Jack, an automobile Jack, not a man named Jack.
Oh, great. Mary,
is it heavy?
Betty, we don't want a hammer. What we
Betty,
want
please,
is
give
a...
give it to me.
You mean nobody sent for me?
Mister, would you please... Mary, what are you doing?
Oh, Fred, I have to get Jughead out.
Out? Out of where?
He's locked in the trunk.
Now, Betty,
how did he get in there?
He crawled in.
Betty,
what's going on here anyway?
Mary, you're wrecking my car.
Oh, Fred, it's taking your car, Jughead.
I'll take my car.
Harder, Mrs. Andrews.
Betty,
Gee whiz, what's going on?
Jughead's locked in the trunk and we can't get him out till you get back. Now, as I was saying... No! Oh, good grief, Archie. Quick, unlock the trunk and get Jughead out.
Gee whiz, what's he doing in there anyway?
Archie, don't ask questions now.
Yeah, let me out.
Okay, Jug, okay.
There, Jug, you're out.
But I still can't see anything.
Jughead, it might help if you open your eyes.
Gee, I forgot.
Hello.
Hello. Now listen to me, all of you. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Uh-huh. All I want to do is take a drive over to Newton Center and visit Aunt Harriet. And by George, I'm still going to visit Aunt Harriet, and right now. So, Mr. Garage Man, whatever your name is.
The name's Jack.
All right. Jack, can you change this tire or not?
Well, sure, but it'll cost you $5.
$5 to change a tire?
Sure, this is just like towing in a wreck. My time's worth money, you know.
Oh, great. All right, I'll pay the $5. Just get the tire changed.
Okay, I got a jack right in the service car. Take me a minute to fix it.
That settles that. Now, Mary...
Oh, for goodness sake, Fred, look.
Look at what?
Look at who just got out of that other car. Aunt Harriet.
Aunt Harriet?
She wished she came to visit us.
No.
Friends, you really know what you're getting when you ask for Swift's Premium Franks. Made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast, so you know they're fresh. Made by Swift, so you know they're top quality. Ask for them today. Swift's Premium Franks in the new handy 1-pound cellophane package. And while you're at your dealer's, be sure to ask for Swift's Brookfield sausage, the sausage with the just right seasoning. And don't forget that your dealer has a tempting variety of Swift's premium table-ready meats. Delicious bologna is being featured this week, and you'll find it to be a surefire hit in lunchbox sandwiches, after-school snacks, and late evening spreads. And remember, Swift's premium bologna is economical because it's all meat. No bones, no waste. Always keep some on hand for quick, easy-to-fix meals. For a meal in a flash that saves plenty of cash, get Swift's premium table-ready meats. And now back to the Andrews. It's several hours later. The garage man has fixed Mr. Andrews' tire, Dad has paid the bill, and Aunt Harriet has had a pleasant visit with them and is just getting ready to leave.
Well, Aunt Harriet, it certainly was nice to see you.
Yes,
sure was, Aunt Harriet.
Well, I enjoyed seeing you folks, too. But I'd better run along now. I want to get home before dark.
Yes, driving after dark isn't easy.
No, it isn't. Oh, good heavens.
Now, what's the matter?
My car. It has a flat tire.
Oh, no.
You've been listening to another chapter of The Adventures of Archie Andrews, written by Carl Zampel and based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics magazine. Archie was played by Bob Hastings, Jughead by Harlan Stone. Mom and Dad Andrews are played by Alice Uhrman and Arthur Cole, Veronica and Betty by Gloria Mann and Rosemary Rice. Jack the Garage Man was John Gibson. This program is produced and directed by Kenneth McGregor. Listen next Saturday when Swift & Company, makers of Swift's Premium Franks, brings you more of the merry adventures of Archie Andrews. This is Bob Sherry wishing you all a very pleasant weekend. So long. Swift & Company invites you to stay tuned for Meet the Meek, which will be heard immediately over most of these stations.
Jughead is truly a Jughead.
you know what? Not one of the Saturday morning Archie's comics ever had that much action in it.
No.
No.
And you know that you're not doing real well when your baloney only doesn't have a first name to it, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, I am just curious, though, that if we can harken back to Blondie, it was during the war, World War II, and I believe they had rationing where you had food coupons. I wonder
yes.
what the reaction was for when they heard Dad would be making one of his world-famous Dagwood sandwiches. I mean, that must have blown through a couple of books of coupons alone.
Yeah, there
yeah.
you go.
And several Meatless Tuesdays to go with it, yeah.
Yeah. I remember making one as a kid. We went to this local Italian deli, Alessi's. Oh, got all kinds of meats and fried peppers in a can. Oh, those were so good, those fried peppers. Cucumbers, lettuce, onion, everything. Two or three kind of cheeses, four or seven kind of meats. It was great. Stacked at a mile high.
And everyone, that's your ASMR food food porn right there.
Trying to think, there was a chain that had the Dagwood Bumstead, and I'm not sure which one it was, because first I was thinking it was Max and Irma's, but theirs was the garbage burger, I think. that had everything in it. But there was a restaurant. There was a restaurant that had the Dagwood Bumstead, and I can't remember which restaurant that was.
I vaguely remember that as well, and it's not coming to me, Dave. There was a franchise. I don't know. But they Blondie permeated everything. I mean, radio, television, movies, the comics, of course. Chick Young created Blondie many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And Archie actually did not appear until 1941. The comic book company started in 1939.
Oh, called, okay.
MLJ Magazines. But they first appeared, the Archie characters, in Pep Comics, number 22, back in December of 41. The publisher hoped to appeal to fans of the Andy Hardy films starring Mickey Rooney. So that's kind of why Archie was that kind of a character.
Ah, okay.
And just for edification, in 1951, businessman Bob Weller and Art Lang opened a Dagwood-themed restaurant in Toledo, Ohio.
Holy Toledo.
Hopes of establishing a national chain. They did not bother to license the Dagwood name and were ordered to stop using it by King Features.
Yeah, and Denny's in the early 2000s offered their breakfast Dagwood. It contained over 1,000 calories. It was later removed from their menu.
Yep. Okay, Dave, you asked earlier about the Blondie movies. First one, 1938. 1939, Blondie meets the boss. She takes a vacation and brings up baby. In 1940, she's on a budget and has servant trouble. Plus, she plays Cupid. In 41, she goes Latin. In society, in 42, she goes to college and has a blessed event. Plus, Blondie for victory. They started doing wartime stuff. It's a Great Life in 43, Foot Like Glamour in 43, Leave It to Blondie in 45, Life with Blondie in 45. Whew. 46, two more movies, Her Lucky Day and She Knows Best. In 47, big dime year there, Big Moment, Holiday, Blondie in the Dough, and Blondie's Anniversary. Two more in 48, two more in 49, and two more in 50, ending with Beware of Blondie. There you go.
Wow. Well, they were cheap and easy to make and made a ton of money because they were very popular.
Yep. Jonathan Hale was Mr. Dithers, later replaced by Jerome Cowan as Mr. Radcliffe.
Okay.
And Larry Sims throughout the whole time played Alexander, first starting out as Baby Dumpling.
Baby Dumpling, aww. Yes.
That's it, Baby Dumpling. And just for
and those dogs were
the
great.
Dog,
the dogs were great.
Daisy was the
Daisy
name of the
and
dog,
her pups.
Wasn't it?
Daisy
yep.
and her
so,
pups.
Oh, hey, Dave, we'll be back next week, won't we? Sure, why
yes,
not?
I think, what do we have going on, Dale?
I don't know, I'm hearing voices, man. With Inner Sanctum, The Chase and The Shadow. Saturday, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, so join us Friday. At 8:30 Eastern, timer's not too bad. With that being said, I want to thank everyone who joined us live, most who are gone. But Fogsbane's still with us. He's always been here from the beginning. Good old Bob, thanks for dropping in. CW, thanks for joining us and co-hosting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. We'll see you
Friday
at 8:30 Eastern, right here on Erie House Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Watch that, Vincent.
Don't come alone.
Come on, Vince, you're good, but don't forget the, you know, that CW here, you could be nice.
Yeah. Come here.
You think he was dead or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. God.
That's not you.
That was a good ending. A fine ending. So the best thing happened by accident. It's like, I do a radio show like Bob Ross paints. Happy little accidents.
Oh, my.
Oh, goodness. Yeah,
they make the most beautiful art.
Just want to apologize to any and all who listened and in the archives, what have you, for the snafu with my less than state of the art microphone.
No worries. It's fine. I think it was just I think when you started, I think where you were holding it, it was kind of causing the a metallic sound. And once you changed that, it was fine the rest of the night. So.
Oh, fine. I'll just.
So whatever you're doing now, keep doing it, girl. You're fine.
Oh, fantastic. My go.
Actually, you're better than fine. You're fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Fabu, as the Animaniacs used to say. Fabu.
Fabu.
Short for fabulous, sure. I guess.
Absolutely fabulous.
But, yeah, just... Interesting.
But,
that was a pretty action-packed Archie episode there. Boy, I'm telling you.
That was.
Yeah.
That was just like
CW mentioned, that's more action than 10 years worth of comic books. You think there'd be more violence with Reginald. He was kind of he was kind of asking for it.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they had any real thugs on Archie, in old Archie. Now probably in Dark Riverdale, they probably have thugs.
Oh,
yeah, Riverdale. I've never watched an episode of Riverdale, but it's a pretty dark side of Riverdale. See, it's the alternate universe Riverdale, I think.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's dark. It's when they did. I think it's over now, but they also did a dark version of Sabrina the Teenaged Witch. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yes, that was dark. It was good, but it was dark.
I feel bad for kids because, like, our entertainment was just so simple. You know, later on with comic books, I was drawn more to the exciting adventure and superheroes and so forth. But when you first start out, you get, like, Casper and Spooky and Wendy the Grinch.
And Wendy. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and Archie and, you know.
Well, even Hot Stuff was a nice... Even Hot Stuff was a nice devil.
Yeah, he was. He was a good fella.
I have to say it goes in cycles. I mean, if you go back to the pre-code era, you will see some...
I always thought Hot Stuff got framed. I think Hot Stuff got framed. He did. He was too nice to be, you know, to be eternally damned.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
Seemed a rough sentence for that guy.
Yeah,
an imp for sure, but a devil might be a rough sentence. What do I know? Hot Stuff was framed.
Oh, and speaking of low-tech, low-quality items, Dave, perhaps you need to take a run to the dollar store and get a new microphone, too. I mean, at least I haven't been chopped off.
Ouch.
Had nothing to do with my microphone.
We know better.
Had something to do with getting too comfortable. Had something to do with being too comfortable in my chair.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Are we talking a little bit of a
well,
Dave, no more drinking on the job, Dave. That's it. That, you know.
Oh, man. You know, I thought I had enough Mountain Dew in me.
You're going to cause an accident.
I thought I had enough Mountain Dew in me to make it work, but no.
Friends, don't let friends broadcast. Tipsy.
See.
Oh, God, that would be funny. One of these days we ought to get blind drunk into this show. Oh, my God.
I think I didn't get blind drunk, but I had a beer or two once before a podcast, and I think you said something like, all right, who are you and what did you do with Dave?
Well,
got a little spunky, as I recall.
I think it was a commercial that was done with CBS Radio Mystery Theaters. I think one of them. Perhaps you can do an homage to Boone's Farm Wines. The wine with the screw-off tap, 99.9% proof, with a little wine mixed in.
Okay.
Hey, another surprise, all right? Another one. You're getting the first on this CW as well. Special guest coming to Erie House. Don't have it ironed out yet. It might be the 16th, might be the 23rd. But artist Bradley Beard will be joining us. He's the fellow who made all those wonderful characters. First, he did a whole bunch of horror hosts. Then he moved on and did all the classic monsters. And he has a very unique style. You might have seen us use him in like the, I don't know if you ever watched the slideshow when the radio is up on your mobile device.
Yes,
so sometimes I use those just, you know, hey, this is us. And both Gar and Dave and I were fortunate enough to have our likenesses captured by Bradley Beard.
Yes.
Outstanding.
And me with my hair out of place and my glasses three quarters of the way down my nose as normal, I just, man, he captured me, I'm telling you.
Yep. as I go on, I'm wearing reading glasses now. As the day goes on, I start needing them for computer screens and or reading small print.
Yep.
the joys of aging.
Well, some of us have no excuse. I mean, some of us had to wear glasses very, very early on. I mean, quite frankly, once you hit 7 years old, it's all downhill from there.
The missus was very cross-eyed, and she had to wear corrective lenses. And it's amazing because it's her eyes that sucked me in when we first met. No, seriously.
Her cross-eyed sucked you in.
I did not know her. She was very, very young, and the corrective glasses fixed it. But I found that amazing when she told me, because it's like, wow. Yeah.
I've had glasses on since the third grade myself. Probably needed them before that, but that's when I could, boy, see a whole lot more trouble to get into once I got glasses.
Well, I'm probably going to wait until they invent an app for it, which is literally around the corner, where you just put your face to your device and you get lasered. Then you have perfect eyesight.
Maybe I want to try maybe a monocle. Might be good.
Colonel Clink.
I only want to see. Oh, no, that won't work. I'm trying to one eye at a time with these reading glasses. Does not work. They work together, not individually. Yeah. It's a nightmare. So much for the monocle idea.
Unless you put a patch on. Put a patch on the other eye. There you go.
And I just pulled up Mr. Bradley's website, and wow, what a collection. Star Wars.
Yeah, he has done everything, and I'm hoping.
Monsters.
And I'm not going to push him hard or anything, but I'm hoping that maybe he can start capturing likenesses of the old radio horror hosts.
Yeah, that's why I think it would be great.
And in some
case,
it might be creating them, because some, like Raymond, really didn't have an image.
Yeah, he had a picture, but not an image, yeah.
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 Where, like,
well, because it was radio. It was like radio, and the thing with the radio hosts, many of them had more than one person that portrayed that person.
Yeah. But, there's artwork of, like, the old hermit. There's artwork of, like, the old witch.
Right, right, right.
That he could draw from, you know what I mean? I don't know. What do I know? I'm not an artiste. But it would be kind of cool if I'd like to see that, because I'd also like to see the old radio horror host maybe get into the Horror Host Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, I think, do one step at a time. Get them on canvas, and then maybe the next step is to the Horror Host Hall of Fame. Because if it weren't for some of those characters, I don't know that you'd have what we have today.
Hey,
or what we had even in the 50s and 60s.
That's right. If nothing else, you can hear them here on Erie House Radio.
That's right.
Surely. Yeah. And how many females are in there? I mean, in that Horror Host Hall of Fame. I mean, of course, you have Elvira.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do an homage?
Yeah,
to
I'd have to go to their website, but I know there's a bunch of them. The gal from, there's a bunch of them. One of them was on Late at Night with, like, Billy Bob, I think. And
Rhonda Shearer. Rhonda Shearer.
Who else? Penny Dreadful has to be in.
Penny Dreadful is there. Marilyn the Witch was inducted this year. Last year they had, although she was there to accept it this year, it was the Sally the Zombie Cheerleader is there.
Did they do Misty Brew at all?
Speaking of which.
Marlena Midnight is there.
Misty Brew wrote a book about female horror hosts.
Did she?
Yeah, and it does. She credits myself and my former partner for kind of helping bring her. But, you know, when we were doing the Creepy Castle, because we found Misty Brew out there, and that was one of the first channels where, you know, she was getting back noticed again.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, some of the other streaming channels like The Vortex and others.
Yep. And you got the Ivana Kedavra.
Yeah, Ivana Kedavra's in there.
And
who's the lady from Philadelphia? What's her name?
That was in After.
The Maneater from Manny Young. What the heck is her name? I'll find it.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down, scrolling.
I got to go into my old Creepy Castle files.
Karen Scolari, she was from.
That's
Saturday
her real
Night
name.
Dead.
What's her character? Oh God,
Stella.
She was good.
Stella. Yeah, she had this talking bed. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yep. She's in there. Yeah, there's a number of female horrors.
Roberta
Vampira.
Vampira, yeah.
She was inducted early on.
She was in the first class of 2011 there.
I think, isn't she the earliest documented television horror host, I believe.
I believe she is, yes.
Because even Zachary came a little later on.
Yes. So, yeah, that was... there are at least a dozen ladies in the Horror Host Hall of Fame.
And I think Zachary was Roland first for a while.
Oh, was he?
For a couple of years, he was known as Roland. And then it was Zachary from there on. That was, like, awesome. My dear.
Cool.
Oh, he's talking to his deceased wife off stage there.
Yeah, okay.
My dear.
It's
funny because not only is the earliest documented television horror host female, but Nan the Old Witch is, I think, the oldest one we know of, isn't it, Dave?
Yes.
For radio.
Unless there was something of a local that they didn't have recordings of, she would have been the first, probably the first, certainly the first national horror host, and that was Nancy the Old Witch. Yes.
Yeah. For and then what horror host made it bigger in the movies than any other? Why, another female, Elvira.
Elvira, the mistress of the dark herself.
She's kind of making a comeback again this year, isn't she?
Yeah.
She is. She's on Netflix and on Shudder.
Yeah, she's coming back out again.
One more.
Why did I go there?
Yes, why? Why?
I don't know, because I ticked somebody off by saying something about it, by saying I didn't really care. And I closed the argument with a quote from Vincent Price. Love the actor for his acting, not his life.
I have to concur with that. There are some performers that
the fact was that you were just saying, you know, it really doesn't matter to you what her orientation is, and Mike McGrainer went nuts on you.
Yeah, he missed what I really meant.
Right, you know I think that's what it was. I think he missed. I think he misread it. Or read something else into it that you did not mean.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed because I thought a lot of him.
He jumped all over you. Yeah.
Well, he did on another occasion too, but yet we still, you know what I mean? He hasn't gotten super angry, so I think, you know, whatever. He's a good fella anyway. He's very, very, very talented.
Very talented, indeed. And you got to give him all the credit for the world for bringing Fritz the Night Owl back for the time that he did. That
he speaks strongly, but he argues like a gentleman. He doesn't attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
you as a person. Yes. He might attack your ideals, but he doesn't attack you as a person, and that makes him a gentleman to me.
Right.
And that means all the world to me.
Right, and there was a time when he was and Fritz were starting to get a little strong in the community again, and he just backed off from it and therefore backed Fritz off because he saw so much petty bickering going on between some of the hosts that he said, I don't want any part of this. You guys need to grow up is what he said, I think, in some on different terms, but that's essentially what he said.
Yep.
Come on, we're all here just to entertain, you know, to give somebody a smile for spending time with us. That's all it is, you know.
An oasis from the real world.
And we apologize. Apologize for all we've done.
Well,
okay,
for
so the Oasis
most of what
is occasionally
we've done.
Death Valley. Hmm?
Except for one thing I'll never apologize for. Well, maybe I will.
You'll never apologize for Parma. Okay.
Parma. Yeah. No, for a polka.
Oh.
I'm telling you, it's happy music. How can you be unhappy with this?
Well, it's like banjo music, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There are no sad banjo songs.
If there is, we should start a national Kishka Day.
Yeah. And I've got to have Kishka. I don't even know what the hell it is, really. I've never had actual Kishka.
Yeah, it's a type of sausage, but...
Punschki
Now, punschkis are that's a bakery thing. Oh, those are good.
Yeah, that's a 5-pound donut is what a punschki is.
Yeah.
A bigger part.
You can kill my diabetic ass with one of those.
I always drive the wife nuts because the wife's, her father's side of the family was Italian. Her mother's was Polish. And so I said, look, they got the Bazakis out already because the Puchki is spelled like Bazaki. And drive her nuts every time I said see that out, but it's like a donut filled with 5 pounds of cream.
Yeah, it's like a sugar explosion. You want to watch me have a seizure? There we go. But oh, boy. Be like a junkie on heroin. I'd be like, oh.
Dale will take up Zach, a punch key, and then we'll see him 2 weeks later, you know?
Yeah. After I detoxify.
That would be something to see on Weird Bitch Really Bad Movie.
That would be.
See me shoving insulin in my eye.
We trapped this man into a room with nothing but pooch keys.
Oh, wow.
He shoved his insulin injector into his own eye. God. There's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
The list is endless.
I thought it was a dumpling or like a pasty or something to that effect. Something like that. But I had no idea it was a heart surgeon waiting to happen.
Yep.
Well, it's just like any other show I've ever worked on. The backstage show is always a little bit better.
So, Prunsky, go to your local heart surgeon and get a coupon for surgery. Go right across the street, get your Prunsky, and come back because we will put those.
Then they make those little things filled with the gooey fruit stuff. It looks like a bow tie, kind of. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's like this twisted twisted dough thing with, like, some of them have, like, a peach filling, some of them have a raspberry filling, some of them have a prune filling, and some of them have a cream filling.
Oh, okay, yeah, I do know what you're talking about now, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's a lot of ethnicities, including Polish, claim those.
Yeah, how did all these people even survive to immigrate to the United States eating this stuff?
I don't know, I think they made more of it when they got here, because Poland was a pretty poor country, and the family that adopted me, they all came over it had to be because of the Bolsheviks and all this stuff, because they all came over right around 1916, and that, you know, Eastern Europe was in a great deal of turmoil at that time.
Europe was always in a great deal of turmoil.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was the events leading up to World War I that I think that they were mostly getting away from. And they all settled in the Polish neighborhood of Cleveland. And
in all honesty, Europe has always been a great big cesspool of mess. I mean, first of all, they had the 30 Years' War, the 100 Years' War, which is 112 years. They had, I don't know how many different plagues rampaging through there. They had all kinds of civil wars, crown head wars, et cetera, wars. Tribal wars.
Star Wars.
I mean, Star Wars. Star Wars.
Yeah. No, if you look back in history, there's very, very short periods where, like, there's no wars going on at all in the world.
Wars-wise, I think the only reason we're not totally at World War III is because everybody is attached to their device. Just hang on a second. I'll shoot that bomb later on. I'm on Twitter. Just wait a minute.
I mean, the world's been like that even before computers, though. Always somebody, somewhere fighting. And if they would just listen to the wisdom of Dave, ice cream.
That's right.
Man.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yep.
Ice cream.
Oh, God, now I want
ice cream. Everyone go to your local ice cream shop before the season ends. Tell them you're grateful. Thank them for their business.
Yeah, I did my part for World Peace about half an hour before we went on the air, so.
Yep.
And as did I, there's an ice cream shop I found not too far away from my center of the galaxy where I did a double scoop of a raspberry chocolate fudge swirl.
The wife made peanut butter pie.
Peanut butter pie. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She mixes up a whole bunch of Cool Whip with the peanut butter. And that's your filling. So it's a cold pie. Cool. You know what I mean? Refrigerate it. And if you're lucky, you get one of them, like, Oreo cookie crusts. Oh, ho, ho, ho. And then you put a little of that chocolate goo on there for a topping there. You got your chocolate and peanut butter. There you go.
And Dale's taking an extra shot. Yeah.
Yeah. No, when it's more like when I take a shot and for whatever reason it makes me plummet. Because whatever I've eaten was, like, not enough or whatever. I don't know. It's like, okay, I'll have a piece of pie. That's the most. That'll level me out. So there you go.
Cool beans. With that, I must be away. I'm motioning to the old schnozzle in the corner there to...
Thanks for joining us again tonight, GW.
Oh, not
absolutely.
Always fun.
Welcome to the family, and good night.
Good night. It's time to say good night.
Not like a West Virginia man.
Good night.
You have teeth and morals.
What more to say but good night?
Okay.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever
you are.